The next panelist we have is a sister named Leah Williamson, and she's a student at the University of Maryland at College Park. She's been active in student and youth work for a number of years now, and she's a member of SCAR, which is a student coalition against apartheid and racism, and she's currently doing work with the Children's Defense Fund and the National Youth and Student Empowerment Network. So please join me in welcoming Leah Williamson.
Hello, peace, Habari Ghani. I first want to acknowledge Carol and the other students who are here on this panel. I am very honored to be amongst such great student leaders, and I just want to say that because I think recognizing and acknowledging the people who are with you and working with you and in connection with you is very important and central to our struggle. I also want to acknowledge some of the people who are not here and are not speaking today. Some of you may be here listening to us, and I just want to acknowledge that, and I want to say thank you, because the struggle continues. I guess after that, what I really want to say is that we are here to honor Malcolm X in a radical tradition and his legacy to struggle to that. And I think, I really think that that's important and that that should shape the way that we look at coming into this conference. I think we should look particularly in terms of a radical tradition and a legacy of struggle at the student movement and student movement in general, particularly of black students. In 1960, it was four North Carolina A&T students that spearheaded the modern civil rights movement. It was 1968 that the student protests at Howard University's campus basically launched the modern struggle against Afrocentric curriculum and multicultural curriculum as well. And contrary to popular belief, during the late 60s and early 70s, it was basically black students who spearheaded and preceded the anti-war movement, forcing King to take a more radical agenda toward the war, and forcing as well white students and other students to take a look at some of the hypocrisy of the United States foreign policy. In the 1980s, it was black students who pushed forward the anti-apartheid movement, getting South Africa to a certain extent, partly where it is today, pushing the issue of divestment into schools, into communities, into the newspapers, into the mainstream media, making it an issue, wearing it on buttons, on their shirts, and everywhere. And most recently, we have Howard University in Washington, D.C., the University of the District of Columbia, and Maryland Morgan State University, also in Maryland Bowie State University, the University of Maryland at College Park, and the system-wide protests at the City University of New York, right here in New York, that staged protests, student protests, uprisings against tuition and budget cuts, against Afrocentric curriculum or curriculum transformation. We have a very radical tradition and a very strong legacy of struggle that needs to be recognized and imparted as we move forward into the 1990s. It's not important just to look at our history in the context of history. What we need to do is look back at our history so that we can understand today, so that we can shape today, change today, and make it better. As a student, I'm sure most of you or many of you can understand that as a student, we're often asked, well, what is it that you want to do? You know, I'm in political science. People expect me to say, well, I'm going to law school. I'm not. I don't plan to, or, you know, I want to be working in my communities. I say all the time, and I've been saying it since I was little, that what I want to do is change the world. People look at me funny, but that's what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And I know I'm not alone in that. I want to change the world. And I know that as students, because of our radical tradition, because of our legacy of struggle, that we have the power to do that. We have the power to change the world because we've done it before. We've been doing it ever since the history of this world, basically, or, you know, what I know of it.
You know, the truth I'm talking about, okay?
So we do have the power to change the world. And we have exercised that power in almost every progressive movement since the history of this nation. But that's left out of our history. So we have to come to conferences like this to empower ourselves, to go out and empower other people, to empower other people, to empower other people, to empower our communities, to fight for the things that we need to be fighting for. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So let's understand our legacy, first of all. Let's talk about the 1960s. We can start earlier than that. We can start, go back to even the foundings of some of the organizations we were talking about earlier, some of my brothers were speaking about, the fraternities. We can talk about some of the radical tradition and legacy of struggle of people like W.E.B. Du Bois. We can talk about Booker T. Washington. We can talk about a lot of our leaders in Black history. And in terms of some of the founding organizations and some of the organizations that we're dealing with today that may not be as progressive as we like, but they came out, many of them came out of student movements, student protests, student uprisings, or student initiatives. And that's got to be understood. Let's talk about the 1960s. It's easier to start there. I mentioned basically some of the things that happened in the 1960s, the A&T protests. But let's also talk about the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. One of the legacies of struggle from students in the 1960s is their community involvement. The two speakers prior to me talked about the involvement in the community and basically the relationship between students on the campus and students in the community. That's one of the things, if we look at the historical significance of land-grant colleges or historically Black colleges, there is a connection. A lot of those universities, when you leave, there's a sign that says, go forth and serve, okay? When you leave that campus, that's what it says, because that's what those universities are all about, okay? And that's not just at those historically Black colleges. I'm a student at the University of Maryland, College Park, and in some of our Black student unions, in some of our organizations there, and in some of our organizations locally and organizations that I'm connecting with. As Black students, we have to understand that we are not just student activists. We are politically active students, and there is a difference, okay? So in talking about SNCC, they had an agenda of voting rights, okay? And a lot of people can look back and say, yeah, but they were basically, you know, pushing the same old electoral, you know, Democratic, Republican ball, you know what I'm saying? But the thing is, SNCC people and students have always been fighting, whether it be for voting rights or anything else, for the broader issues of autonomy, the broader issue of self-determination, the broader issue of the bottom line, Black liberation. You know what I'm saying? Black liberation. That's what we're about. That's what we've been about. That's what we're about today. That's what we're going to be about. And that's what we're going to be about until we are liberated, you know? And if we're not, then we have problems, okay? And we need to work that out. Let's also talk about the legacy of working with the grassroots. You know, it's a phrase that we always talk about, you know, the grassroots. What do we mean by that? You know what I'm saying? It means getting to the nitty-gritty, getting to the people who are the most depressed, okay? I mean, part of our tendency at times is to be on the campus because it's a lot easier, you know? I mean, as young people, we're dealing with a lot of stuff too. We all have our baggage. But I think the point is, when we have a grassroots focus, we're dealing with people in the community. We're dealing with the most oppressed people. And if your movement is not based on the most oppressed people, your movement will falter. Your movement will not succeed. Your movement is nothing, okay? And that's why we can understand why Black students have been so integral in so many other movements, because our focus is on the most oppressed, okay? That means that our campuses are involved in the surrounding community and that those surrounding communities should be involved on our campuses, okay? And that there should be a connection not only between students working with students, but students working with youth and youth working with students, okay? Students have always shaped the agenda of mass movements. and we continue to be a crucial, if not the decisive factor, in the agenda for the 1990s. But what exactly does that mean? What do we mean when we say we want an agenda for the 1990s, okay? We're talking about community empowerment. We're talking about autonomy. We're talking about self-determination for Black liberation. But where are we going? We know where we've come from. And for those of us who don't, maybe we need to sit down and think about that and continue to work with that. Where are we really coming from? That's why we're here today, to talk about that tradition and that legacy. But where are we going in the 1990s, and where should we be going in the 1990s? I spoke about issues of empowerment and autonomy for our community, and those need to be our central issues. When we're dealing with the budget cuts and tuition hikes, we need to be focused on what that means in terms of our empowerment. The brother Takala earlier spoke about the fact that it's not just an issue over tuition. He understands that it's not just an issue of tuition. He said that they shouldn't have had tuition in the first place. They shouldn't have to pay tuition, and we agree with that. So that becomes then, for the people of color, an issue of autonomy. It becomes an issue of self-determination. How do we deal with that? How do we shape that? This is our goal for the 1990s, shaping things in broader terms and making sure that the linkages are drawn and that they are connected. So when we talk about the divestment issue that happened, you know, a lot of us came out of the divestment issue in the 1990s. I mean, we have to talk also about what the divestment campaign did for us in terms of giving more of a sense of autonomy to us. Okay, so we have to understand that these are not just issues over tuition. It's not just an issue of $2,000 this semester or $3,000 next semester. You know what I'm saying? This is an issue, a central issue of student power, of Black power, and we need to recognize that. Thank you.